He said during midnight mass in Armagh that it won't come easily or quickly. The Princess of Wales will not be with her sons and the rest of the royal family for Christmas lunch this year. She's leaving after the morning service at Sandringham in Norfolk. Royal Watcher James Whittaker says she'll spend the rest of the day with her brother at the family home in Northamptonshire.
William and Harry will be upset because after church this morning, it's incredible to me, but the Princess is going to be leaving and she's going to go, I think, to her brother, Charles Spencer, go and have lunch with him 2-hour journey away. She will not be staying on for the celebrations at lunchtime.
Gunmen holding a group of schoolchildren hostage on board a helicopter in Russia have released another boy. Three other children, a bus driver and two pilots, are still being held at gunpoint. Earlier, the kidnappers had released 9 of their 15 hostages after $10 million in ransom money was handed over. The trial of 11 Iraqis and 3 Kuwaitis accused of plotting to assassinate former US President George Bush has been adjourned. If they're found guilty, all but 2 face the death penalty. A verdict had been expected today, but the judge demanded a Kuwaiti Security Service investigator be recalled for further questioning. Thousands of homeless people have food, warmth and shelter this Christmas Day thanks to centres in many parts of Britain run by the organisation Crisis. Centres in the north-west of England, the Midlands, the south coast and London are catering for people who've drifted into life on the streets. Crisis Director Mark Scothern says volunteers in the capital are engaged in the mammoth task of cooking 125 turkeys.
Cooking for 2,000 people is a fairly big job, and in the meantime there'll be entertainments going on. There's about 15 TVs at various places that people can watch, and volunteers will be chatting to the homeless people in the shelter. We sometimes get celebrities who come and visit us, and they like to do that on a low-key basis, and that provides some entertainment.
Independent Radio News.
Thank you. And weather-wise, what's happening in our area today at the London Weather Centre? Sean Seabrook, good morning.
Good morning. Well, it shouldn't be too bad today. I don't think there'll be much snow, but it's certainly going to feel quite chilly. Apart from the odd sleety shower today, I think most parts will stay dry, and it should be reasonably bright as well for much of the time. Although there probably won't be a great deal of sunshine, there's too much cloud for that. But as I say, it is going to feel quite chilly. At the moment, the temperature across London is around 1 or 2 degrees. That's mid-30s Fahrenheit. It will only slowly rise today to around 4 or 5 this afternoon, which is around the 40 degree Fahrenheit mark. The winds, though, should stay fairly light throughout much of the day. And then this evening, well, it's probably the best chance of seeing some snow today. There are likely to be some snow showers around, but it shouldn't settle, and no doubt some of us will miss them altogether. Now, those showers will die away after midnight, most parts becoming dry again, and the frost will return to much of London, with temperatures around freezing in town and as low as minus 2 degrees, that's 28 Fahrenheit, on the outskirts of the city. And then for tomorrow, we're mainly dry and bright, quite breezy though, and still on the cold side. Enjoy Christmas. This is Sean Seabrook at the London Weather Centre.
We will if we can. Sean, thank you for that, and you do the same thing. And of course, it's upon Sean's roof if a snowflake falls, a spot on midday today, that the bookies lose all that money, but it doesn't look as if it's going to happen. Right now, it's 9:03. If you have just joined us, a very good morning to you, and a Merry Christmas from everyone here at LBC. It's Steve Jones with you on the bigger, brighter, more festive breakfast show through until 10. We've got a couple of stories to bring you in this hour, and special guest Joe Brown between 9:30 and 10 o'clock in a moment. The Queen's Christmas message after this.
The UK's first independent radio station, LBC News Talk 97.3 FM. Informing and entertaining London 24 hours a day.
Don't miss the winter sale starting this Monday at Morley's of Brixton, Smith Brothers of Tooting, Bodges of Ilford and James Selby of Holloway. It's their biggest ever. You'll find hundreds of bargains throughout the store, many at half price or less, including linen, menswear, ladies' fashion, china, glass and hardware. The winter sale starts Monday 9 a.m. at Bodges of Ilford, James Selby of Holloway, Smith Brothers of Tooting and Morley's of Brixton.
This is the Steve Jones Breakfast Show.
And now, as is traditional at this time of year, we have the Queen's Christmas message.
I am speaking to you from the library at Sandringham. 4 generations of my family have enjoyed the quiet and solitude of this library. It is still a haven of peace, even if my grandchildren do their best over Christmas to make it rather more lively. Most of the books on the shelves date from my great-grandfather's time, and their titles reflect the life and events of those days. Books are one of the ways in which each generation can communicate its history, values, and culture to the next. There are books here about statesmen, explorers, warriors, and saints. There are many about war, especially the First World War, which ended 75 years ago. Families and loved ones of those who fought in it knew little of the horrors of the trenches, other than from artists' drawings or photographs, often published days or weeks after the event. Nowadays, stories and pictures from all over the world can be gathered up and appear in print within hours. We have indeed become a global village. It is no longer possible to plead ignorance about what is going on in far-off parts of the world. Switch on the radio or television, and the graphic details of distant events are instantly available to us. Not all the pictures bring gloomy news. This year has seen significant progress made towards solving some of the world's most difficult problems. The Middle East, for instance, the democratic future of South Africa, and most recently, Northern Ireland. All too often, though, we find ourselves watching or listening to the sort of news which, as a daily diet, can be almost overwhelming. It makes us yearn for some good news. If we can look on the bright side, so much the better. But that does not mean we should shield ourselves from the truth, even if it is unwelcome. I believe that we should be aware of events which in the old days might have passed us by. But that means facing up to the question of what we can do to use that awareness for the greater good. The simple answer is, of course, all too little. But there is another answer. It is that the more we know, the more we feel responsible, and the more we want to help. Those involved in international charity work confirm that modern communications have helped to bring them public support and made them more effective. People are not shunning the added responsibility, but shouldering it. All of us owe a debt to those volunteers who are out there in the front line, putting our donations to use by looking after the wounded, the hungry, and the oppressed. Much of their work never reaches the headlines or television screens, but their example should inspire us all the same. We cannot all follow them the whole way, but we can do something to help within our own community, particularly at Christmas, when those without work or the company of family or friends feel especially left out. I am always moved by those words in St. John's Gospel, which we hear on Christmas Day. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We have only to listen to the news to know the truth of that. But the Gospel goes on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. For all the inhumanity around us, let us be grateful for those who have received him and who go about quietly doing their work and his will without thought of reward or recognition. They know that there is an eternal truth of much greater significance than our own triumphs and tragedies, and it is embodied by the child in the manger. That is their message of hope. We can all try to reflect that message of hope in our own lives, in our actions, and in our prayers. If we do, the reflection may light the way for others and help them to read the message too. We live in the global village, but villages are made up of families. We, the peoples of the 50 nations of the Commonwealth, more than a quarter of the world's population, have as members of one of the largest families a great responsibility. By working together, we can help the rest of the world become a more humane and happier place. I am reminded this year of some lines from a Christmas hymn which many of you will know. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In Northern Ireland especially, these last years, fear has made the streets dark indeed. Now we have seen that the light of hope can brighten them. May 1994 bring to those brave people who live there and go about their lawful lives undaunted the reward they deserve, peace. I hope you all enjoy your Christmas. I pray with you for a happy and peaceful New Year.
The Queen was speaking from Sandringham, where she's spending Christmas and the holiday weekend with her family. As she said, her grandchildren, who are inclined to romp around in the library, it would appear. Well, the Queen's message, as we just heard, was quiet, even sombre, but it did carry a light of hope within it. And to take a closer look at what Her Majesty had to say, and didn't say, in the studio, live on the air, our Royal Watcher David Spanier. Very good morning and compliments of the season, sir.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Steve.
And where did you get that hat? Anyway, quite a political speech this year.
A very quiet speech, subdued speech, and as you say, she stuck pretty closely to the themes of reconciliation and hope. And all the things in the world are going on where people feel so strongly they want to express their feelings. And the Queen said that in trying to support the aid workers and all the other people who are doing good things, we light the way for other people and encourage others. And she brought in, as she always does, her strong sense of the Commonwealth. The Queen's always been a supporter of the Commonwealth. As the international organisation which represents about a quarter of the world's population, which the Queen always feels, and there was a Commonwealth meeting this last year, the Queen always feels can do a lot of good to achieve reconciliation. But I think looking at the speech as a whole, which we just heard, what's really much more remarkable is what she left out.
Yes, nothing to do with family in there, very, very little indeed. Has it been an annus horribilis? Because she mentioned the family, well, obliquely quite a lot in last year's message.
The Queen really stayed off family issues completely, apart from setting the scene at the beginning by saying that she was surrounded by the books that her grandfather had assembled in the library at Sandringham, and that her grandchildren made a noise over Christmas, as she would expect.
But there's a generation left out there.
She didn't say a word, not a word, about the present generation. And I suppose for understandable reasons, because the various ups and downs of the Queen's children, not all bad things, by the way, we'll come on to that. The various ups and downs have made the Queen, I suppose, tremendously sensitive and careful in what she might say in an address like this, which is going to be seized on and heard by millions of people around the world.
Mm. Well, of course, there have been several bits of royal news recently. What is the Queen going to have made of Princess Diana, the Princess of Wales, opting out, well, to a fair extent anyway, from public duties?
Yes, Diana's attracted an awful lot of attention this last few weeks because her decision to pull back to a large extent from public life, was done in such a way that it drew much more attention to herself than if she had said nothing at all. I think there's two schools of thought about Princess Diana's behaviour. One is that she is a scheming little minx who's simply just trying to get as much attention as she can to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other view is that, a much more sympathetic one, is that, after all, it's all been too much for her. And she's entitled to her own life, and she should be allowed to get on with it without being distracted by the media. I suppose both views are not irreconcilable. They're both partly true. Mm. I suppose the Queen will feel saddened, she must feel saddened, that today of all days Princess Diana will be attending service at Sandringham and then be going off to have lunch with her brother at Alstorp. That she won't be there at the family table at Sandringham, but she can't really be there. And this is where the royal family reflects in a way that perhaps the Queen does not find so welcome, reflects in a way the general state of all her subjects. There's thousands and thousands of divorced families whose children are separated from their parents, one or the other, who shuffle about, you know, with exchanging visits over Christmas. And the Queen really is not in any different situation from that, with the impending divorce, as I take it, coming up this year between Charles and Diana.
I mean, were they both Yorks there with their children over this weekend or not? Because they still, Prince Andrew and the Duchess of York, they still do quite a few things together, I think, with their children. One sees them pictured at sports days and that sort of thing.
Yes, I don't think, though, that there's any chance of reconciliation there. It's pretty clear, isn't it, that Fergie's going her own way and got to make her own life. And she's not really in any sense anymore a royal personage. She has her place and attracts the media, but I mean she's not performing in a way that Princess Diana is always going to be on the scene as the father of the future king. But the Queen is surrounded by most of her family, and as I was saying just now, there are some good news, as well as all the upsets and the broken marriages. In the report of a romance between Prince Edward, always the outsider among the children.
Yes.
And Sophie, who looks like a very attractive lady, if one may say so.
But she looks rather like, as the newspapers have not been slow to point out, rather like Diana Spencer looked in 1981 or whenever it was.
Well, she looks like what she is, which is a very nice English upper-class girl, a Sloane Ranger type, well brought up and well educated, and I suppose everyone's hoping that this will turn out well. At least they have the lesson before them of all the disasters that have attended the other marriages, and perhaps a way of steering clear of that. Another good piece of news, I suppose, if you're looking at the family life of the Queen, is that Anne and her husband seem a very happy couple, who are also present, and things are going well with them, and her children were with there too.
There were all sorts of rumours of another baby, weren't there, some months ago, but they seem to have died down completely.
Well, I'm tremendously well informed, Steve, about the affairs of the royal family. That particular item, I'm afraid, has not been vouchsafed to me.
Right, so let's look ahead very briefly then to the monarchy in 1994, and indeed towards the end of the century now.
Well, I think there's a long, long way to go, if one may put it this way, that before the British public feel happy with the royal family and pay it the respect that they would like to pay. I suppose the first and foremost question this year is going to be the health of the Queen Mother. One's had a sense, and she is a wonderful old lady, but one has a sense of her increasing frailty. You know, fishbone stick in her throat and she's taken unwell for a few days and so on. And I suppose that there will be a lot of concern that she goes on and carries on as she can. Because one day, in the fullness of time, she will leave us, and the Queen's going to be very, very upset at that because of this tremendously long, close relationship with her mother. And it's going to bring in a period of national reflection, and in addition to all the other feelings of mourning, which will perhaps rekindle a certain amount of feeling, deeper feelings for the royal family. Anyway, we hope that the Queen Mother will continue as hale and hearty as she has done all these 90-odd years. But still, that is a point to consider. On the wider picture of how the Queen is going to handle her year, I think that the strategy must still be to try and keep as quiet as possible and hope that no further scandals blow over. That's rather a forlorn hope for the Queen. Because, as I was saying, it's very likely that Charles and Diana will be divorced this year, and that's bound to reopen a lot of speculation about his future and whether he will remarry. and whether indeed, to take the more political issue about Charles, whether indeed he's going to be a future king. This whole question has been opened up this year in a very big way.
Yes, I know about the state and the church and all of that sort of thing, but, which is something maybe we should talk about on a future occasion as and when that happens. In the meantime, thank you for joining us on this Christmas morn, live in the studio. And as a new man, I suppose you've got to go back and baste now, David, haven't you? Something of that nature.
Well, we're having a big family lunch, as we always do. And I have to admit that my wife does most of the work, but she couldn't possibly manage without me opening the wine bottles and the champagne.
Now, I'm sure you have tasted them all. They've been personally passed by the management here. Thank you very much indeed, David Spanier. It's now 20 minutes past 9 o'clock.
You're tuned to LBC News Talk.
Backache, rheumatic and muscular aches, pains and strains. The power and strength of one of today's leading painkillers harnessed in a gel. Ibuleve gel. Ibuleve brings you the same painkilling power in a rapidly absorbed penetrating gel. Ibuleve. Believe in the painkilling power and strength of Ibuleve. Pain relief without pills.
Ibuleve contains ibuprofen. Ask your pharmacist and always read the label.
The very best of the LBC London Parade. Display bands, orchestras, choirs and much, much more. Catch the excitement at three Wembley concerts. December the 29th and 30th at 8 o'clock and December the 31st at 6:30. Tickets priced at £7.50, £10 and £15 with 20% discount for parties of 20 or more. For details, call the LBC ticket line on 071 379 3742. All proceeds go to the Variety Club of Great Britain's children's charities.
Merry Christmas for everybody here on LBC. Palestinians ushered in Christmas in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, with a mixture of celebration and defiance last night, reflecting their ambivalence towards a peace accord with Israel. Israel should have started to withdraw its troops from the Gaza Strip and the West Bank district of Jericho on December the 13th, but the timetable broke down when the PLO demanded full control of the external frontiers of both enclaves. The delay has cast a shadow over Bethlehem's first public celebration of Christmas since the Intifada began in 1987. I asked Peter Alan Frost in Israel how Christmas was celebrated in Manger Square last night.